Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I live, breathe, and eat football. Me love football. Me think football great.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You're that team nobody really wants to face. I mean, I had Michael Irvin on earlier, Fred Warner. I said, let's be honest, the Niners are the last team that you'd wanted to face, right? And he said, yes.
It sounds flattering.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Coming up, CBS broadcaster and the voice of the Brooklyn Nets, Ian Eagle. New York Post sports columnist Ian O'Connor. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Wild thing over the last 48 hours, we haven't seen any NFL coaches fired. You know?
Strange.
We discussed Joe Judge being fired by the Giants yesterday at the top of our program. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Media Group joined me on that conversation and also told us his insight on the firing of Brian Flores, another Belichick assistant. No Belichick assistants are currently head coaches in the NFL right now. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. Everybody assumes Vrabel is that. He never coached on Belichick's staff. Bill O'Brien put him on the Texans staff. And he's just a all-time great Belichick player.
He coached with Urban at Ohio State.
Yes, he did.
But by technically, if he's on O'Brien's tree and O'Brien's on Bill's tree.
Well, he's on Belichick's tree, but he's not a Belichick assistant.
Yeah, but.
He's not a Belichick assistant. He was never an assistant for Bill Belichick.
He's a coach.
He's on a Belichick coaching tree, one would say, because he's on the tree.
He's a leaf.
He's on somebody else's branch.
Yeah, he's a leaf. Look,
this is like Highlander, guys. There can be only one. There's only one Belichick. Stop comparing his assistants to Bill. It's so dumb.
Well, there is Saban, the greatest Belichick assistant of all time.
I mean, there's no question Belichick's the best coach, but Walsh is the best tree. I mean, that's a fact. Yeah, I'll go that way.
I don't know. I don't know, because even with all the great assistants that Walsh bequeathed, from Mike Shanahan to Mike Holmgren to, you know, George Seifert, who took things over there, you know, and there are Super Bowl winners there.
There's a ton.
Hold on a minute.
You can look at Bill's Cleveland.
Bill Belichick's assistant named Nick Saban.
College.
But you're talking about the greatest college coach maybe ever.
Well, what's his?
Yeah. That's the old thing, too. Let's discuss this. When you saw, like, my team lost to Georgia, right? And now we're talking about, is Harbaugh coming back or not? There is a conversation about, is Michigan going to get back there anytime soon? I mean, we have to have that conversation because this has been such an outlier, right? Even with the Ohio State, right? Winning one with Urban and then getting smoked by Clemson and then making a national championship game with Justin Fields. You still have a conversation about when's the next time Ohio State going to get back? And Ohio State fans are like, it's got to be the next year. Well, this year wasn't that year. They didn't even make the college football playoff. Notre Dame getting smoked, right? So those who make the national championship game, you're wondering, you know, how many more times is this going to happen? Georgia finally did it the first time in 40 years. With Alabama, it's just like, yeah, it's just the way this year went.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's no conversation about it. 0.0 concern about the future of that program. Well, I mean, it's some turnover here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this guy's leaving school. Saban has been, it's when's the next time Alabama's not going to be like that? Right?
I don't know. They're the betting favorite to win next year.
Every year.
Like, I mean,
and you know, NIL is going to change it. It's going to change this. It's going to change transfer portal. It's going to change it, right? And that you have those concerns about other schools. Do you have that concern about Alabama at all?
Zero.
And I'm sure Saban might, you know, think that's rat poison because, you know, I'm still got to, you know, I still got to protect the turf. I still got to do this. I still got to do that. And there is the nuts and bolts of it. He's so amazing at it. I have zero concern about it. Zero. Oh, boy, the transfer portal is really going to even things out against Alabama. Okay. He's the one who's saying that the transfer portal on the NIL is actually going to make it tougher for others to get on Alabama's footing. Sort of what he's saying. I mean, Belichick's tree has got Saban on it. And I think that kind of tilts the tree in his favor, even though the rest has been a bunch of wannabes. And everybody wants a fruit. And the crazy thing is, you're hearing that's what Nick Caserio may want. And, you know, the McNair family may want in Houston, another Belichick person to go with Caserio. And it's kind of like, why? Why?
Flores did a good job at Miami. I mean,
no, I understand that. But I'm saying, why would you want to just blow up everything again? I don't know what's going on with David Culley down there. I don't know. In the same way that I didn't see the Flores stuff coming, and we're talking about communication problems, this and that and the other thing. David Culley, let me just repeat again what I said in the first hour in a conversation with Ian Rappaport. I haven't really put it in the construct of just an opinionating moment here on this program or take. But Urban Meyer got handed the greatest hand, maybe, in coaching, recent coaching hiring history, right? Trevor Lawrence, owner with a lot of money, fan base that's incredibly passionate.
Hungry.
No state tax out of your wallet, right? Long-term contract. High expectations, sure, but there's not media all over the place down there in North Florida, right? Blew it.
Would have been given a long leash.
Whatever that situation is, okay? David Culley got handed the exact opposite hand. As I mentioned before, I'll say it again, the Doyle Brunson. For those who play poker, that's 7-2. Well, offsuit. Wasn't even suited what he got.
Rich, slight correction.
Yes.
Doyle Brunson is 10-2.
10-2, my bad. Did I say 7-2?
10-2.
10-2.
7-2. 7-2 is the worst hand.
That's it. So it's 7-2. Doyle Brunson's the 10-2.
10-2.
Thank you for that correction.
You got it.
I always throw it in the pile anyway. I always throw it in.
10-2.
I always muck.
Never play.
So anyway, whatever. The Doyle Brunson. Worst hand in that.
Bad.
To be handed this where Deshaun Watson doesn't want you. And this is before everything else happened. And then when everything else happened, you're the one that the Texans reach out to say, yeah, you got to fix this. Bring him in. Try and convince him. And then you go through all this. And then you get hired by a team that doesn't have a first or a second round pick. And then the third round pick is a quarterback. And you're just like, okay, because I'm going to start Tyrod Taylor, clearly. And then he gets hurt, and he's got to throw this rookie in there, and he's got the best season of any rookie not named Mac Jones at the position. We're going to bounce him? Yeah, more wins this year, or as many wins as Bill O'Brien did? Half as many? Whatever the hell it is. With a worse team? Come on now. So, you going to hire a Belichick assistant? What? They don't work. They don't work anywhere.
What do you mean?
Like,
Bill O'Brien made the playoffs 4 to 6 years with terrible quarterbacks.
Until he decided to shop for the groceries himself.
Bill O'Brien was a terrible general manager. He's a really good coach.
Okay. Well, Houston's not going to hire him.
Obviously not, but Jacksonville might. And Brian Flores is a really good coach. Back-to-back winning seasons with a terrible franchise with no quarterback.
Josh McDaniels is going to be a hot coach one day.
I hope he replaces Bill at some point.
I think that's what it is.
Take Mac Jones into the promised land. But.
So.
It didn't work out for Bill first time around.
Now that
I don't know why we're judging people.
Now that the regular season is over, right here, I have, with all due respect to you, TJ Jefferson, my own top five list. I compiled this myself.
Okay.
Top five wildest moments of the 2021 season. You ready for it?
Let's go.
And there's been a lot of them, but this is my top five list right here. Can you hit it, please? Okay. Number five, week seven, Bears at Bucks. 14 seconds left in the first quarter. Tom Brady has already thrown two touchdown passes in the game. Sitting on 599 touchdown passes for his career. Trying to become the first to ever hit the 600 touchdown pass milestone. He does so, finds Mike Evans in the end zone for 9 yards, and Evans gives the ball away to a fan. And then the you-know-what started hitting said fan. Byron Kennedy is the name of the fan. He came on this show. He wound up giving the football back and setting off a national argument as to whether he gave the football back too soon. Tom Brady himself said he should have held out for a little more. The fan got wound up getting tickets for the rest of the year and tickets for the next year, signed jerseys and signed shoes and all that sort of stuff. And then a Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. One whole Bitcoin.
Which is now in the toilet, right?
Well, we're making a little bit of comeback, Rich. Okay, we were over 42,000 this morning.
Okay. Well, he got it when it was around 70,000, right?
Yeah, he got it much
okay.
higher.
So at any rate, he's on the Bitcoin roller coaster in this whole country. That's all we could talk about was fans and giving stuff back to players and trying to take a chunk out of a player. Even though you go and you root for him all day, but now you're going to be transactional in your fandom. And it was off the charts insane.
It was fun.
To the point where the Buccaneers, when Brady threw that touchdown pass to Breshad Perriman to beat the Bills in overtime, and that was his 700th career touchdown pass, including playoffs, there was some dude for the Buccaneers running towards Perriman, the first guy to meet him, to take the ball away from him in case he did what Evans did with the 600 ball. That's how nuts that was.
Because Perriman spun it in the end zone, and he ran right in and grabbed it.
Snatched it up.
It was awesome.
That's my fifth wildest moment of the season. Number four, week 10, Thursday night football, Ravens at Dolphins. Dolphins up 6-3 in a field goal game, trying to score the first touchdown of the game, third and goal at the Baltimore 6, and they dial up a screen pass to Miles Gaskin. And right in front of Gaskin jumps the guard, Robert Hunt, and picks the ball off for Miami.
That was awesome.
And started to live his best life. Just absolutely snapped, grabbed the football, illegal touch all over it, and he starts running to the end zone, and the Dolphins start blocking for him. And the Ravens try to tackle him as if this was an actual legal play, and it was so not. But Hunt, in the middle of all of it, knocked ass over tea kettle, reaches for the end zone anyway because he's living his best life. Touchdown! But it wasn't.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, that was an incredible moment. Because it played into everything. Big men scoring touchdowns, which is delightful, but just like living your best life in this crazy mixed up world. He just jumped like, I mean, it looked like he was the intended receiver, which kind of ran the okie doke on everyone else, but he didn't report. He's an interior lineman even.
See ball, get ball.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. That's number four.
And they put that picture up on
the elevator. The elevator doors open and then they close because he's... I've never seen that. And man, there it is. Man, that large.
That is so cool.
Being knocked upside down, reaching. It was an incredible moment.
I was afraid he broke his neck for like a split second because it looked like
bad. Oh my gosh, but it was just delightful soup to nuts, man. And it sure was nuts. Number three. I could try and pick one thing, and there's really not really one thing that's crazy involving this entire escapade, spectacle. So I'll just say it. Number three on the craziest, wildest moments of the history of the regular season of 2021. is Urban Meyer. All of Urban Meyer. All of it.
Everything.
Everything.
All of it.
All of it. All of it. If I had to choose, it's kind of a tie between kicking his kicker and then saying to the kicker the next day, when are you going to put a smile on that face? Imagine you kick somebody. It doesn't matter how hard you did it. You kicked him. And then you see him the next day and that person sees you. It doesn't matter if it's boss-player relationship. You lost another human being. When are you going to put a smile on that face? When you stop kicking me, a-hole. You know? And then it's just not going back with your team on a plane and then sticking back and then being busted on Twitter for the way that he was busted or Instagram and whatever. So that's kind of right there together. There's a lot also there. So that's number three, all of Urban Meyer.
Great, love it.
Number two is week 17, 3:11 left in the third quarter of a game. The defending Super Bowl champions are losing by two scores in MetLife Stadium. And Antonio Brown takes half his uniform off and runs through the end zone. He strip sacks himself. He stripped down and then he sacked himself because, well, I guess he said he was sacked before this moment. Interestingly enough, he told TMZ just in the last 24 hours, maybe not the most, probably not the most professional thing he could have done.
Oh, really?
Use the word probably as he was caught by TMZ. Wait, this is like the greatest Mad Lib ever. Going to dinner with Kanye.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
see a photo. Yeah.
I mean, like, that's a Mad Lib of just more insanity. Insanity. That he stripped down and ran through the end zone on an ankle that apparently requires surgery. After we found out, he tells Tom Brady, you're not targeting me enough. Like, suddenly Tom Brady's the enemy to him, and he decides to take off his uniform and run through an end zone during a play of a game his team's losing by two scores. Never seen it before. We'll never see it again. And it's wild. And it's not number one because I can't make it number one. Number one, the wildest moment of the 2021 NFL season is week 18, game 272. The Sunday night football game between the Chargers and the Raiders. And again, week 18, game 272. I have to say the week 18 part of it that led all the way up to it. The way that the Jaguars had to beat the Colts, and they did convincingly. The way that the Steelers needed to win, and they did so in overtime, extending Big Ben's career. Unless the Chargers and Raiders finished in a tie, and that game went to overtime. Even though the Raiders were up by 12 at one point, you can't do the math very well to figure out how that would lead to a tie, but it did when the Raiders kicked a field goal, then it's 15. Then you've got two touchdowns and a two-point conversion, something that the Chargers complete with no time left on the clock after a 19-play drive. Took just 2 minutes and 6 seconds of real game time clock, but almost a half an hour of real time. Steelers fans hanging in the balance, thinking that they can make the playoffs if there's no tie. There's not going to be a tie. And then it was almost a tie and a timeout that people think led to the field goal to not have a tie, even though that makes zero sense because if the Raiders were planning on taking a knee and they flipped a timeout and they ran it anyway, wouldn't they have just taken the knee after the timeout anyway and just taken a knee? And no, but they ran it. So we're planning on having a run, a kneel here. No, you called a timeout. We're going to run it now. That makes zero sense. If you're planning on kneeling before, and then you just take the knee after the timeout, that runs time off the clock to end the game. Craziness. All of it. Nuts. That's the craziest moment of 2021.
Do you think we need one more?
Oh, sure.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, we'll do that.
Oh.
Because I just couldn't name Antonio Brown. I couldn't have Antonio Brown be number one.
Oh, right.
All right, I'll add this last one here. And I didn't know where to fit it. It was crazy, but I just didn't think it made the top five. It's the Monday Night Football game in Week 9. Bears at Steelers. Bears have a chance to win this game. They get off the field, and the guy who helps them get off the field, Cassius Marsh, stares at the Steelers bench, and God, Tony Corrente, the official who is now retiring, calls that taunting because he stood inside the numbers and stared at the bench of a team, by the way, that had cut him, and that was taunting, and we're going to actually continue a drive. We're actually going to call that. That's the stuff that we want to have called to affect a drive in a crucial Monday Night Football game with everybody watching. The fact that the league backed that play up is just as wild.
After Corrente hip-checked him.
Well, that too. That too.
Nuts.
So that's your bonus wild moment.
That's a good list.
For 2021.
That's a good
list. If I missed anything, you can call.
Jeez. What a year.
That's it right there.
What a year.
So, let's take a break. Ian Eagle, who's calling Patriots Bills 3 with our buddy Charles Davis. He also does play-by-play action for the Nets. His son does a great job for the Clippers.
Yep.
That's coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our terrestrial radio outfit, all one big happy simulcast family. Love this guy, love his announcing, love everything about him. He calls games for the Brooklyn Nets locally in the New York area, and great job on CBS and Westwood One Radio. He and Charles Davis, just a great team, and they're calling Bills Patriots 3 on CBS this weekend. Ian Eagle back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Ian?
Hey, Rich, congratulations
on
you.
On what?
I mean, this hosting the Oscars gig is huge. It's immense. You've got Crystal. Yeah. You've got Rock, Kimmel, DeGeneres, Goldberg, Hope, Niven, Eisen.
You forgot. Eisen. I think you forgot Franco.
Franco,
right? Yeah,
Hathaway.
Right. Yes, right. Yep.
Martin, Baldwin. I had to shorten my list, Rich. We only have a certain amount of time.
I feel like this is kind of like the NFL. You don't talk about Fight Club if you want to get in Fight Club, but I'm going the opposite approach. I'm just going to say,
I'm
like Robert Hunt. You know what I mean? I'm like Robert Hunt. Like this may be, there may be a flag on the play, but I'm going to try and score. You know what I mean?
I did call that game.
You did, right?
Ross Tucker and I had that game on Thursday night, Miami, Baltimore. And Ross was laughing like a wounded hyena during the entire call. That's how giddy he was at what transpired with Robert Hunt making his way, instinctually grabbing the ball and going towards the end zone. It was tremendous.
It was like the football version of Costanza trying to show up the day after he quit. You know, like it's like we all know in the room this can't be, but you're going to why not? Right? Why not keep trying? That was incredible.
No, it was great. It was one of the wacky plays of the year, and this very unpredictable season that you've lived every pulsating moment of. We hit the postseason, and now the question is, does it go according to chalk, or do we still get some of this unpredictable vibe that has permeated throughout the regular season into the playoffs?
I agree, Ian Eagle, I agree. So you and Charles are set for Bills-Patriots 3, correct?
I mean, not the best sign that middle of the week, instead of the deep preparation that I normally put myself through, I'm Googling how to stay warm outside during sub-zero conditions. Like that literally this morning, I woke up, I'm like, you know what? I need a game plan. And I got nothing really from the internet. Like, cover every bit of your skin.
Yep.
Thanks. I kind of knew that one. I'm honestly, I don't want to psych myself out, so I'm just going to go into it. I'm gonna go through my normal ritual, my normal physical and mental prep, and just hope for the best on Saturday night.
There's many different things to go here, so I'll just go directly into it. So now there's no choice for you to leave the window of the booth shut.
Yeah, no choice.
Why? Because there are monitors hanging out the edge of the window, or is this a pride thing? What is it?
I would say it's 50-50. It's the logistics of it. You need the open window for wires, for monitors, and then the other half that you just alluded to. Yeah, it's a pride thing. You can't be the guy 30 years from now when they say, oh, remember the coldest day for a football game since the Ice Bowl? You're like, I don't know. We closed the windows. I have no idea. You can't.
Why? Why? It's self-preservation. Come
you
on.
You can't. Bridge, you can't. You Why? Can't be that guy. I will do whatever I need to do to try to bundle up, but I'm not going to be the guy that was toasty warm wearing a V-neck T-shirt during New England Buffalo because it got too hot in the booth.
I don't know if you saw the last episode of Curb or if you've been up on it, but is this like Larry David roping off his director's chair? Like you would receive the scorn of everybody in the industry and they'd all look at you as the guy who shut the window? Is that what you're saying?
Ted Danson would lose all respect. I could never live with that on my conscience.
It's like roping off the chair. You can't do that.
Space heater, though, Ian?
Yeah. Space heater. Oh, no, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Kurt Warner's jacket. There you go. There you go. I don't think Kurt's using it. He's with me in studio. Yes.
The silver puffer comes out. Yes. I will go full Michelin man.
Yes. The jacket. There you go. Because Kurt, Kurt trended too. I don't know if that really matters to you, Ian.
I saw it. No, you know? It matters. It matters a lot. Kidding me? I want to be compared to a bite-sized Hershey's Kiss during a national broadcast of an NFL game. That's the kind of reaction I'm looking for. No, I heard space heaters. That's possible.
Okay.
We're going to look into whatever we need to make sure we're comfortable during the game. The reality is this is a secondary story, Rich.
Yes.
I know some people want to make it the lead. Yeah. I'm not going to let it become the lead. It's a secondary narrative.
That's just you being the professional that you are. If I am not mistaken, you and Charles called the second part of this trilogy, correct? Did you call that
game? We did.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a masterful Josh Allen performance when he truly had command of the game. Mm-hmm. It just felt like from the word go, he was locked in on beating the New England Patriots that day and changing the perception of the way people viewed the AFC East this year. You know what the expectations were for Buffalo entering the season. This team was looking at a Super Bowl or bust mentality after what they did last year, AFC Championship game appearance, lost to Kansas City, same group back, felt like they were ready for an extended run. And they really struggled early in the season. And I think people then stopped paying attention to them for a while until they went back into the lab and got their whole game in order, where now you look at it and say, wait, they can come out of the AFC. They're just as good as anybody else. They're probably the most balanced team in the AFC if you go player for player and what they bring on the defensive end and the dynamic offensive skills that Allen brings to the table. So to me, this is a strange thing to say compared to where they were a year ago, because we had the playoff game last year, the wild card game against Indianapolis.
Right.
I actually think Buffalo is in a greater position this year after having such a tremendous regular season last year, breaking through, winning the AFC East. I like their team more today than I did a year ago.
Why?
I just think they're now prepared for it. They realize what goes into it. They've experienced some adversity. They've gotten through that period. I think they've exhaled a bit over what was, for a moment, a stretch where they could have been the biggest underachievers in the NFL, and they got through it, and now they're better because of it. They've got more of a running game right now than they did a year ago. Devin Singletary has been a factor down the stretch of the season. Their defense is tremendous. Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott, that group has been excellent. They lose a Pro Bowler in Tre'Davious White. They've lost nothing on the field somehow. That's not saying they're better because of it. They're not. But Dane Jackson has held down his spot. Levi Wallace has been excellent. Taron Johnson is very opportunistic and seems to have a nose for the ball. I like their team. I like where they stand right now.
Well, and then it's amazing how you could say that the Patriots are the less experienced, right? I mean, certainly with that head coach who's been there and done that. We don't need to go into Belichick's resume, clearly. But when you spoke to Mac, did you get to speak to Mac Jones? Because I know that the Patriots have definitely not presented him to a lot of broadcasters. Did you get to? Did you?
We do talk to him each week. Our scheduled meeting is tomorrow. And he's actually been very good in the meetings. I think the Patriots, like a lot of teams with rookies that are in prominent roles, try to pick and choose their spots, and they're easing him into this position. He's got a lot on his plate.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, he's really likable when you talk to him.
Oh, sure.
He's got a really good way about him. He's highly competitive. He gets very, very hard on himself when he makes mistakes. I think that's been out there as part of the scouting report. But good dude, likable dude. He's going to be doing this a long time in a prominent position with the Pats. We will talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, that win streak that the Patriots went on, that seven-gamer that basically got him in the playoffs, and that the seventh consecutive win was the first visit that the Patriots made to Buffalo, and we all saw what happened on that Monday night game with the weather in which he only threw it three times, and then comes the bye week, and he has not been the same, I mean, at all. I mean, the Colts, he did have a terrific fourth quarter to make that a game on that Saturday night after the bye week. Then the second Buffalo game in which he really had a long afternoon. We can just take the Jacksonville game and throw that one out, although the Colts would love to do the same with week 18. And then the game against Miami. So what do you think is the concern? What were you hearing, I guess, a couple of weeks ago? What are you sensing prior to your conversation with him getting ready for the playoffs, Ian?
Yeah, I think there's always a concern in terms of the rookie wall that takes place for a lot of these guys. I know he played at Alabama, which means you're playing a whole bunch of games. He didn't start every year at Alabama. We know his story, that he waited. He got his opportunity, obviously did a great job under Nick Saban. But for all of these rookies, when you get into December and now January, there's always going to be a concern that they just don't have as much gas in the tank. And the other part of the equation is pretty simple. There's more tape. There's more film on you. Defensive coordinators are really good in this league at picking out where you are susceptible and where they can expose you out on the field. And defensively, the Patriots haven't been very good in the last month, so that hasn't helped either. I think there were probably a couple of games in that seven-game winning streak where the defense was just so dominant. Mac didn't make any mistakes, and they walked out of places with a win. And it just gets coupled together when you rip off so many wins in a row. You just assume everything is clicking all at once. Not necessarily the case. But, Rich, you know and I know that rookie quarterbacks in the NFL have had very limited success come playoff time. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. Even the great ones struggle in those spots. The last three to win games in the NFL as a rookie in the playoffs, you've got Mark Sanchez, you've got Joe Flacco, you've got Ben Roethlisberger.
That's it, man.
No rookie QB has ever won a Super Bowl, and there's a reason behind it. It requires reps, experience, life experience doing this job, and Mac is no different.
You could say the same thing for first-time quarterbacks in the playoffs as well. And that's where Burrow and also Derek Carr fall under that umbrella. Jalen Hurts in the NFC, and so on and so forth. Ian Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, I just want to tap into your Nets world a little bit here. Why did the Nets eventually decide half of Kyrie is better than none after they said otherwise prior to the season?
Yeah, I think their decision was made when COVID hit the team and was hitting teams all around the league, and they looked at their roster and they said, okay, well, what are we doing here? We've got a Ferrari in the garage that we're not willing to drive even on a part-time basis. Do we need to reassess our stand on this? And they tried to look at it logically. They took the temperature of the team. I believe Kevin Durant was vociferous in his opinion that he wants Kyrie out there, even if it's on a part-time basis. And ultimately, that's something you have to consider. When your star player, the guy that you've built your team around in Kevin Durant, feels very strongly about something, you've got to listen as an owner, as a GM, as a head coach. So I think there were a lot of factors that went into it, but the main one was the team is flawed and they believe that Kyrie would make them better. They're trying to figure out exactly how this is going to go. I think there's still a part of them that believes eventually he'll play in home games, but getting to that point, it's been a very circuitous route to get there in the New York City mandates and then Kyrie's own personal beliefs.
Right. So that the way around it would be, I guess, what, for him to either take the shot or move to Pennsylvania and helicopter in? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, the second part. Trust me, they were very much aware of. I think there's a faction within the team when the mandates came down initially, they read through them. And this is going back to late summer, August, September, before it was even public. Mm-hmm. It looked like there would be a loophole, a caveat that if you're not a New York City resident, this would not apply to you. Kyrie Irving lives in New Jersey. That is his state of residence. So there was a short period of time where both the Nets and Kyrie and his people thought, okay, this doesn't apply to him. He's going to be fine. And then about 7 or 8 days after they got the initial paperwork, there was an addendum of some sort from the mayor's office saying, no. That includes the tri-state, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, if you work in New York City on a quote-unquote full-time basis. So the goalpost definitely shifted from the initial contact, and I do think that's why the Nets and Kyrie thought this was going to be pretty much irrelevant when it first came down, at least behind the scenes.
Ian Eagle, thank you for the time, sir. Greatly appreciate it. As a thank you, because we always try to leave you better, even though you can't see this, we have done this, and I will text it to you. The crack staff, to use the Marv phrase, here at the Rich Eisen Show have put your head on Kurt Warner's jacket.
Seamless.
It's not as bad as you think it might be. I'm just saying you should leave the door open a little bit here. You know?
Rich, yes. You're in contact with Kurt on a daily basis.
I am.
If he's willing to send me the jacket, I will wear it as an homage. In addition, it's self-preservation. The thing looked warm as hell. It was taking in whatever sunlight there was.
Yes.
It was It was beamed into the jacket for extra warmth. So
solar powered. It's a solar powered. Yes.
Yeah, I'll go there. No, I don't care about being mocked.
Electric blanket or maybe that Costanza Russian hat, like one of those.
No,
that
turned out to be a rat, though. That was bad. That turned out to be, we can't have that. But my concern, though, also, Ian, for you, is does the CBS crest have to be stitched on it?
No, at this stage, I think it's every man, woman for themselves. I'll wear a babushka. You want me to wear a babushka? I'll wear a babushka.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Because you got to. It's all about bringing your A game. So branding, CBS branding, be darned. You got to be warm. I'm calling Kurt during the commercial break.
Just donated to science.
Honestly, because
I'm willing.
Because he lives in Arizona. I know his schedule. He's doing two studio shows here in Los Angeles, and then he's sticking around. He's doing the Westwood One broadcast of the Monday night game from SoFi. He does not need it over the next week.
It's tailor-made. This is set up for me.
There it is.
I don't see any other purpose other than going to the Smithsonian. What else are you doing with that?
Canton.
He doesn't require it.
Canton. That's where it's got to go.
Okay. Canton, of course.
It may want it.
How silly of me.
Ian, thanks for the call. You take care.
All right, guys. All the best. Send me that pic. I need that.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's going up on Twitter right now.
Well, I mean, I'll send it to you, too. You could use it for your own purposes. Do you take care, Ian?
George Burns. That was the other host I was thinking
about. In. Man. Don't you know that the campaign has just begun for me to host the Oscars.
I'm pushing the East Coast. They're going to know about this.
Thank you very much. Ian Eagle, everybody, from CBS. And yes, as well. Okay, send me that photo. I have to send it to him. And I'm calling Kurt right now. Let's take a break. We'll be back on the Rich Eisen Show. Still to come, Ian O'Connor of the New York Post in a moment.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ba-da-da-dum. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. NetSuite wants you to know that they are there for you for an upgrade right now with a one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. It's as simple as you trying to make a big putt and, you know, your sunglasses fall over your eyes, your hat falls over your eyes. You don't have the visibility. Poor visibility is maybe what's going on in your business because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you've got to just upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to know. Grow everything you need to grow all in one place. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/rich. Just go to netsuite.com/rich for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/rich. I've just asked Kurt Warner to send the jacket.
Yes.
The text is in.
Okay. We got dots yet?
I have sent the photograph to Ian. He has sent it back saying, I'm hesitant to say this, but it looks fantastic. It does look good. It doesn't
look bad. Picture
looks
really good.
I mean, it does.
I mean.
Picture looks. You want to hit that with a retweet, Rich?
Sure, I'll hit that with a retweet. There it is. I mean, why would he not want to do that? That's all I'm saying. You know? So. And I appreciate him. I appreciate him, Ian Eagle, coming on this show and saying that he's all in on my campaign to host the Oscars. You know what that means? Momentum. Is gathering.
Oh boy.
That's what it means. If I say it, that's one thing. Another person says it, it's momentum.
Ballin'.
Now, the Oscars has not had a host for 3 straight years.
Correct. Okay?
And I said that when they first started the idea of not having a host. I was livid about it.
You were not pleased.
Again, when Warren Beatty read out the wrong name of the best picture winner. Who cleaned up the moment? In the moment. Jimmy Kimmel, a lead pipe wielding professional host.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele.
Now, a host can't stop that. A host can't stop that. Can't stop that.
Can't help that.
Can't stop it.
Can't help
that. Adele
Kazin. Although, you know, although the right host might be able to fly out into the outer space and spin the globe
like
backwards
Superman.
And turn back time.
That's
like
right.
Superman. Yes. Again, I know the movies is what basically what I'm saying. Okay?
The classics.
That's what I'm saying. I know the movies. I know classics. I know the non-classics. And if anybody's out there sitting there thinking, well, Rich, okay, you know, you're not involved in the movie business. You're not a movie guy, right? And you're not somebody in the Oscars orbit. Just put it up on the screen. Put it up on the screen. I'm hanging out with Jodie Foster. She was on the show. 2-time Oscar winner. The Accused, Silence of the Lambs. I saw them both. She lost for Nell. I saw Nell. I might have, not rewound the tape when I handed it back to Blockbuster, but that might be a strike against me if when they're looking at me, you know, on occasion, I might not have been as kind to rewind.
I don't know if they have your rewind stats.
Do they have
file.
My, I don't know. Is, you know what I mean? Is my Blockbuster video like a something that's on my permanent record? Like my second grade teachers used to threaten me that this is going to go on your permanent record.
I don't know. If
and
like
trust me, I'm a 52-year-old man frightened that one day my permanent record from first grade is going to be brought up and held against me in my professional business. And again, that's all I'm saying is I talk to Oscar winners like Jodie Foster.
Black suit, black tie.
I could do that. And on top, there she is winning an Oscar. And I've talked to her. So if this is like Kevin Bacon, I'm like 1 degree separate. I'm just throwing it out there. You need a host. That's what I do for a living. And I know movies.
Have you ever done an award
culture.
Show?
Is
that a game show?
I once hosted the 40 Under 40 Sports Business Journal Award, where they gave out awards to sports executives under the age of 40.
That's something. Mm-hmm.
I did that. You know what I did? When he talked about winning the award for, it was like best individual something or other, I brought a bat out on the stage and I did the scene from The Untouchables.
Oh,
about,
okay.
About
individual treatment.
Yes, individual treatment. I brought an actual bat.
Okay.
So you bring props.
I know movies. I know pop culture. And I know how to host. on how to entertain.
You know some movies.
I know a lot of movies.
Trust me.
If I'm talking to the Academy and I'm like saying, you know, I've seen Nell, but I haven't seen The Last Boy Scout, I think I'm in okay shape.
I don't know, man. More people, I think, have seen The Last Boy Scout than Nell.
I'm fine. Mad about the Goonies thing.
Yeah, you right?
I've seen Goonies.
You actually have now. That's right.
Took them how long?
I can fill in the gaps. Whatever gaps might be, I can fill in the gaps. I'm a gap filler and a host.